مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات آئی ٹی این دا لو آف مصطفیٰ، ٹرو ورچو اینڈ نالج شل ٹیک یو فار، ہیئر اٹ از مدنی مذاکرات، here it is. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, page number 2, saying number 1 of the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam: He who recited Salat upon me once, Allah Almighty sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply to every question and that too correctly. If possible, I will try to reply them. If you find me making mistake, rectify me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you'll find me grateful to you whilst rectifying myself. Insha'Allahul Kareem. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We have received a question. If a young man has habit of a particular sin and he is indulged in that particular sin from years now, how can he abandon that habit of sin? What should he do?
He should repent sincerely. It is better to repent after performing 2 raka'ah of Salatul Tawbah. And it is necessary in repentance that the sin that you committed, you are embarrassed over that sin and acknowledging the fact that it indeed was a sin. Now he should repent, as in develop the feelings of remorse and regret inside him, eliminating its desire. And it must be in the mind of the person at the time of repenting that I will not commit this sin ever again in future. When he repents in this manner, then he'll automatically refrain from that sin, thinking that I've already repented from this sin. He should develop a mindset that no matter what happens, I will not commit this sin again at all. Now, if he thinks in his heart that, you know what, I will commit this sin again, I can't get away with it, I'll end up committing it. Oh Allah, I repent. Now he says this, Oh Allah, I'm repenting. If these feelings are in the heart, then this is not repentance. Try to understand this from this example, that you slap someone and then say to him, sorry, but wait, I'm about to punch you. You punched him and said, sorry, but wait, I'm gonna kick you now. So that person will not be satisfied of you and not accept your apology either. Now, if someone repents to Allah with this mindset, that although I'm repenting, but I'll commit this sin again, then this will be deemed as mocking and joking with Allah Almighty, according to hadith. So this is not repentance at all. So dear son, repent sincerely. Allah will grant you steadfastness upon your repentance. Now let's say that at the time of repenting, you had a firm determination that you'll not commit this sin again. That was your final decision. Now may Allah forbid you commit the sin again, then repent again. So this way, when we repent 100 times or even thousands of times, Allah's mercy is very vast. It will be accepted. Provided that he had firmly intended at the time of repenting that I will not do it again. And in any corner of his heart, if he thinks that I'll commit the sin and then repent again, now this repentance is not valid. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرٍ يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرٍ يَرَهُ. Meaning, so whosoever shall bring forth an atom's weight of good will see it, i.e. on the day of judgment. And whosoever shall bring forth an atom's weight of evil will see it. So regardless of whether if we, let's say, commit a sin very discreetly or commit it openly, Allah Almighty knows everything. Whether it is a very tiny, small sin that you commit, or it is a grave sin, everything is revealed to Allah. So whosoever commits as much of evil, He will see it. One definition of atom's weight is that you would have seen in sunlight that a shade is cast, or when headlights of a car flash, or when you sort of turn on your torchlight, then a shade gets cast and within it, tiny particles appear. Those tiny particles are referred to as atom's weight, meaning that even if you perform this much of a pious action, even that will not be wasted. And if you commit that small of a sin, even then, that can get you trapped. We ask Allah Almighty for salvation. And yes, the litany of protection from sins. Huwallahu Rahim. Whoever recites this litany 7 times after every salah, Insha'Allahul Kareem, he will remain protected against the evil of Satan, and his end will be upon faith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in your court is that a woman who does not earn and owns jewelry, would her husband pay her zakah, or would she pay it herself? Because she doesn't earn herself, so how will she pay the zakah? This is the question in your court.
This ruling is for both, whether a man or a woman. Earning is not a condition. It could be a case of a man inheriting a large sum of money or someone gifting him money. And he is not even able to earn. That's how his state is. He's weak, he's ill. Even in this case, if the conditions of zakah are met, then zakah will be fard upon him, whether it's a man or a woman. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of my sheikh is, for such a place where people walk with the shoes on, can we offer salah there?
The question is, can we offer salah there?
Where people walk with shoes, can one offer salah there at that very place?
Now, there wouldn't be any problem if the place is not impure, as a place doesn't become impure just by walking over it with shoes on. However, on such occasions, a person should lay down a piece of cloth. Whereas, salah will still be valid even without a cloth, but it may lead to people's despise. If you offer salah at such a place without a cloth, then it's possible that people will feel detested, thinking that what kind of person he is. And then due to no knowledge, he will say that the salah was invalid, the ground was impure. So the ground doesn't become impure like this. Even if the shoe sole is impure, and the ground is dry and so is the shoe, and now he's walking over it with impure shoes, and no effect of impurity has appeared on the ground, meaning that no color or smell is apparent from the ground. In this case, the ground is pure and clean. And even if something is there, and it dried up completely due to breeze, as in, the effects of impurity, like color, smell, etc. are not apparent, even then the ground is pure. However, in case impurity did get there and it became pure due to breeze drying it up, still the yammum cannot be performed with it. However, salah will still be valid over there. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
What is the criteria to establish the fact that someone is wali of Allah? Friend of Allah.
As it stated in a hadith that him by looking at whom you remember Allah. This is one of the signs of a wali. It also mentions in the Malfuzat of Ala Hazrat.
This is mentioned in a hadith. Seeing him reminds you of Allah. Idha ru'u. Seeing them reminds you of Allah. Dhukir Allah. This is a sign mentioned about the friend of Allah.
This is one of the signs. There is a booklet of Maktabatul Madina, Waliullah ki Pehchan, i.e. recognizing a wali of Allah. There is a question in it that how can we recognize a wali of Allah? Answer. Recognizing a wali of Allah is actually a very difficult matter.
The renowned Mufassir, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, alayhi rahmatul Hannan, states, the truth is that recognizing a wali is a very difficult matter. Sayyiduna Abu Yazid Bistami, Quddisa Sirruhu Sami, states, that the awliya of Allah are the brides of Allah's mercy, where no one other than its mahram can reach. That's why it is said, Walira Wali Mi Shanasad, meaning that only a Wali can recognize another Wali. Sayyiduna Shaykh Abu al-Abbas, Rahmatullahi Alayh, states, Allah's recognition is easy and a Wali's recognition is difficult, because Allah is superior than the creation in His attributes and divine being. And every creation is a witness to this fact. But a wali is just like us in regards to his physical appearance, actions and matters. Meaning that a wali appears to be just like an ordinary person. There is revealing in Sharia and concealing in Tariqah, meaning hiding it. Adornment of a house is kept on the door, and a pearl is kept inside a locker, meaning that decoration and adornment normally are normally on the doors and those things which are apparently visible to everyone, whereas a precious thing like a pearl is kept safely inside a locker. So similarly, a wali is also kept concealed. And this is also the truth. As in, there's so many noble awliya who are pushed away and dishonored by people. They show no respect to them, but he's a wali. We don't recognize him. The final Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated,
there are many anxious
and disheveled haired people. Disheveled hair meaning scattered hair. And those wearing worn-out clothes are such that no one cares about them. But if they take the oath of Allah Almighty on any matter, then He Almighty will definitely fulfill that oath. So dear Islamic brothers, remember that to be a wali, it is not necessary to be advertised or to have a prominent fine gown and turban and a long queue of devotees, which would symbolize their wilayah and make it acclaimed. Rather, awliya are also found amongst common people. Therefore, we should revere, respect and honor every pious person, as in we don't know that who might be a hidden wali. As Sayyiduna Zunnun Misri alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi states that Allah Almighty has concealed three things in three things, meaning kept them hidden. Number one, His displeasure in His disobedience. Number two, He has kept His pleasure in His obedience. And number three, He's kept His awliya hidden amongst ordinary people. Thus, you should not consider any sin to be a small sin, as it is possible that the displeasure of Allah may be in that sin. And you should not consider any pious deed to be a small one. It is possible that the pleasure of Allah Almighty lies in it, and He becomes pleased. And amongst the people, we should not consider anyone to be inferior or lowly. It is possible that he may be a wali amongst the awliya of Allah Almighty.
It is mentioned in a hadith that one funeral passed before Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and Sahaba ikram alayhi ridwan praised about that deceased. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, it became necessary. Then another funeral passed by. Sahaba ikram alayhi ridwan mentioned evil acts of that deceased. Upon this, Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, it became necessary. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and asked, what became wajib, necessary? Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that first funeral about whom you talked good for him, paradise became wajib. And the second, to mention evil of that deceased, for him, hell became wajib. You are a witness of Allah on earth. So in this context, Mufti Sahib is mentioning.
Subhanallah. Under this hadith, he writes that from this we find out a few rulings. One is that a person who is naturally called a wali of Allah by ordinary people, he in fact is a wali of Allah, meaning he is a wali of Allah. Allah Almighty mentions the sign of the awliya.
لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ,
meaning that glad tidings are for them in this world too, that ordinary Muslims call them paradise dwellers. Because obviously, if a wali doesn't go to paradise, then who else will? So ordinary Muslims call them paradise dwellers, and even in the hereafter, the angels will call them paradise dwellers. Therefore, Sayyidina Ghaus al-Azam, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, Huzur Data Ganj Bakhsh Hajweri, Mujaddid al-Faisani are undoubtedly awliya, as the Muslims consider them awliya. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Got one question. How can we divide housework, chore, like family members, especially women, those they work? Normally, burden of all housework is put on one person, which is certainly not fair. Now, my question is, if someone has good intention to make things easier for one person who has got burden on, and if work is divided in between different family members, all work with shared responsibilities, then will there be a factor of reward for that person? who helps to arrange all this.
Subhanallah. First of all, develop this mindset that it is Ramadan al-Kareem and there is one golden chance for the one who keeps fast, that it is not difficult for him to attain the Tahajjud Salah. Anyhow, he should wake up early. He should perform wudu, offer Tahajjud, and then eat Suhoor. And in these days, the Jamaat of Fajr is also early. You can perform all these actions with one wudu. Similarly, an Islamic sister can also avail this chance. Anyhow, all the fast-observing people, those who keep fasts, it has become a very strange tradition nowadays that the person who faces the most difficult time in this is the woman of the house. She has to wake up early, regardless of whether her child is crying or whatever. She has to wake up early in the morning and prepare a whole meal for everyone in the house. So she should add good intentions as she has to do it anyways. It wouldn't work out if she doesn't fulfill this responsibility of hers. She has to do it. So she should add good intentions as serving and assisting fast observing people is also an act of piety. And you'll also get reward. And if you do so with a face made up or out of compulsion, with an ill heart, then how will you gain reward? Reward will be gained only if you have the intention of pleasing Allah Almighty. Is that clear? So this way, make it an act of reward. And those who do not wake up early, generally this habit is quite common amongst the men,
especially the people in the bigger cities, especially the people of my caste, the Maimon people. I know them better. Like, you know the saying we talked about earlier, that a wali recognizes another wali? Same is the case with a Maimon. I am a Maimon. By birth, I'm a Maimon, and it's been a long time. I have so much experience. So this nation of mine is very lazy. They would talk all night long. They would roam here and there, hiding from everyone. They spend time on social media and so many other things. So they normally sleep late at night. Then they fall into a deep sleep. Now they'll give an order that wake me up in the last minutes. So they will wake him up in the last minutes after repeated efforts and a lot of difficulties. And now it will be as if he's doing a favor by eating a few bites, because now there wouldn't be any space in his stomach due to eating late at night. But as nothing is to be eaten throughout the day now, so he will put something down his stomach. He will eat something. He won't leave it. So he'll eat and then he will keep burping. But he will not go to offer Fajr Salah because all night he spent in gossiping and was involved in many other useless things. Now very quickly, somehow at home, he will offer Fajr Salah and fall asleep. And now, he's lost. This is regarding a number of people. Even in Taraweeh, Masajid will be full. But then, it gradually keeps falling down. Unfortunate. Whereas, those who appreciate Ramadan, their example has been given us that if we knew what there was in Ramadan, then you would wish that only if Ramadan was there all year round. We don't appreciate even one month. It is normally observed that we are fully enthusiastic the first day, then we get tired the second day. There will be a number of people who will keep the first fast out of passion. Now, those people who do not keep any nafil fast throughout the year, they're not used to it. Then when they keep the first fast of Ramadan, it indeed is quite difficult for them. He will get a headache, he will feel a burden on his head and in his eyes, and his nature and attitude will also change altogether. And on the last night of Ramadan, he perhaps would have stayed awake out of joy and ate a bit too much on the name of celebrating. And excessive eating also harms a person's health. So the difficulty of the first fast may make a person lose the courage for the rest. May Allah forbid, but this does happen. He'll not keep fast again thinking that it's very difficult. Now the 27th night would approach as the time passes and he'll be told off at home. His mother will perhaps scold him. His wife will say something to him out of affection, then he may keep the fast of 27th. You will find such people. This is wrong, don't do this. Keeping every single fast throughout the month is fard. You can't do that, keep the first and then the 10th, and then of the big days. Every day of Ramadan is a big day. All the nights are major, alhamdulillah. So we are to keep every single fast. And we were talking about getting up. So set an alarm on the alarm clock. In fact, you don't even need alarm clocks nowadays. Mobile phone serves this purpose. It wakes you up.
Let's say in a house there is mother, two daughters, maybe a daughter-in-law also. They can also divide work amongst them and share responsibilities. Well, by doing so, inshallah, a beautiful atmosphere will be created where everyone would know their own timing and tasks, whatever they have to carry out. This is a beautiful way to care about others, help and support. Now, if someone provides ease to others in this way, is there any possibility of making good intentions?
Yes, make the intention of reward, and especially the daughters. Should definitely do so. Today, do it when your mom's asking you nicely. Then you will have to look after your in-laws anyways. Then you'll have to do it. Then it will be very difficult for you, so be used to it from now on. Listening to the affectionate voice of your mom, be like, "Yes, mom, just a minute, I'm coming." "No, mom, leave it. I'll do it. When I'm over here, why do you need to work?" Such fortunate should be a daughter. Her heart will get happy and you'll get reward. And even if she did it herself, still say to her, "No, mom, I'm here. Let me do it." As you'll have to do this at the in-laws anyways. So you'll get used to it from now on. Everything will be Madina, Madina, and your mom's gonna be happy as well. All the people of the house will become happy. This should be for every daughter, but any daughter who becomes a bit mature. The mother should involve her in household chores as well. At times by getting her to do the dishes. At times by asking her to assist in cooking the food. So this way, one way or the other, she should also be engaged in doing the household chores. Because the daughters are to go to the other house after their wedding. So when they go there, they should be so much trained that they live as a queen over there by becoming the apple of the eyes of everyone in their in-laws. Inshallah.
Amir Wal Sunnah, as you mentioned about sleeping late night, in the night people have to play cricket also. And there are certain people who remain awake till late and they sleep after suhoor.
Astaghfirullah. Some of them would also be fast observing and also salah offering people. They do so at night so that they will get tired in the night and during the day they will spend the fast while sleeping. Whereas Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has condemned spending fast and sleeping. Like you won't even notice the fast then. You will notice the fast only when the mouth gets dry out of thirst, the stomach is rumbling out of hunger, and you feel a bit tired and burdened. Then you will sort of realize that yes, I'm fasting today. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the same thing if you spend the whole fast while sleeping.
Yes, I believe you're right. There would be tens of thousands of individuals who go to work and they leave early in the morning about 7 a.m. They spend all day in fasting and around Zuhr, they come back and do some rest. And mashallah, these people, they sleep early in the night. As you also beautifully encouraged to sleep in the night so that when we get up, in the morning, we can offer tahajjud salah. Such people, they get the opportunity to offer tahajjud salah too. And after suhoor and salatul fajr, they sleep, they do rest, and get up in the morning, go to work, come back, do rest. Such people's rest is badly disturbed by the noise in the streets.
Yes, you're right. And you know, when holidays come, like Saturday or Sunday, then they perhaps would also join the night people.
We cannot say anything. Actually, there is a lack of right sort of atmosphere. If proper Islamic atmosphere is provided, then things can really get better.
All the Islamic brothers who are listening to me, please make sure that you don't do this, because the matter of the rights of people is very severe. Violating the rights of people, hurting their feelings, hurting their sentiments, causing them harm, is a major grave sin on the judgment day. It will be very difficult to please them. You'll have to give them pious deeds. We don't have pious deeds in the first place. And if we do, they'll end up taking them. And if their rights are not fulfilled even after giving them pious deeds, then we'll have to take their sins upon ourselves. So let's say if a person, he himself was pious and violated people's rights. Now he became sinful by taking other people's sins upon him. And now he'll have to go to hell. So those who violate the rights of Muslims during the nights of Ramadan or any night in general should contemplate, ponder and reflect upon this. Don't do this. I hope you understand what I'm trying to explain you.
Example of our own country where we've got combined family system. The wife has to eat together with husband's brothers in the morning as well as at the time of breaking fast. That's what normally happens in households. Now, in case if someone has got a mindset to observe wailing, and she wants to avoid mixed gatherings. What happens in a family, there are certain older members of the family, those who do not have Islamic mindset. Instruct, come, sit together and eat. It doesn't matter, don't serve the meal separately. All sit together and eat. Come on, sit on one dining mat and eat together. In short, there are certain people of such mindset. And because of their attitude, in certain cases, at some stage, such things also happen which must not happen. Matter of the fact is, the time of iftar, that is the time of acceptance of du'as, time of suhoor, how would you guide such people?
Yes, being informal, joking around, everything would be common. So remember that there is shar'i veil between a sister-in-law and brother-in-law. They are non-mahram to each other. In fact, in a hadith, the brother-in-law is referred to as death, meaning that he is dangerous like death. A woman will feel a bit reluctant in being frank and informal with a stranger. She'll fear acquainting him, but brother-in-law and sister-in-law apparently behave like brothers and sisters, where the sister-in-law says that he is my brother. And same is the case with the brother-in-law, that he says that she is my sister. So this is extremely dangerous, as in at the time of iftar, when Allah Almighty is distributing freedom from hell, reward of paradise, and showering His mercy, a sin like unlawful gazing being committed. At that time, astaghfirullah. This is a severe destruction. By keeping a fast, we don't do a favor upon anyone. We are to take our fast neat and clean with us. Now that Ramadan is here, repent sincerely. Everyone should repent. Brother-in-law as well as the sister-in-law, everyone. Mother-in-law should also repent, and so should those father-in-law. So encourage these practices, saying that nothing's wrong, it's fine. These are all just created by Maulvis. There's nothing like this. Na'udhu billah. Do not issue fatwas like this. Whatever our scholars convey to us is the commands of Allah and His Messenger. That's what they tell us. They guide us in the light of Sharia. What problem do they have? If brother-in-law and sister-in-law observe unveiling, they have nothing to lose. Rather, he who issues a fatwa that is fine, a little bit is okay, then that mufti will be deemed as a good mufti. People will serve him, saying that, look, he is the right one. The other one has made the religion very tough. Na'uzu billah. This is not the case. So everyone involved in this needs to repent wholeheartedly. And remember that it's not that after Ramadan has passed, it will be allowed. No, not at all. This has to be acted upon forever. Repent over it today and never do so again in future. The sin of unveiling. The brother-in-law, the sister-in-law, all the non-mahrams should stay away from each other. Even if you want food, don't ask your sister-in-law. Do something yourself as well. Open the fridge and take it. Back in the days, warming up food used to be very difficult. I'm talking about my era, back in the days. I used to collect wood, papers and other stuff to light a fire at home myself. Then we would light a fire and cook food on it. And there would be smoke everywhere. We used to burn coal. And that's how food used to be cooked on it. Nowadays it's very easy. Just open the microwave. Put your food in there and there you go. Within a minute it's ready and you still want sister-in-law to do it for you. The dining mat that hardly carries any weight, you can't even lift that up. Sister-in-law has to pick that up as well. Why are you so lazy in regards to these small and trivial chores? Be a man, do your own work yourself. Don't bother your sister-in-law to do your work, and don't do undue favors for her either, as this practice also brings brother-in-law and sister-in-law closer together. To each other.
Sister-in-law should also remain serious.
Yes, absolutely serious.
In case after watching Madani Mudakara, if sister-in-law makes her mindset to remain serious, the other end should not mind that fact. And her seriousness should not be classed as rudeness. Why are you too serious and you being rude? She may not be rude, but serious. So people should avoid such attitude and comments. MashaAllah, beautiful discussion is taking place. May Allah give us ability to act upon, make us modest and respectful. And if women adopt veiling, then many issues and problems of our society can be resolved. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Beloved Baba, we have collectively made this masjid. We have made this intention that we will offer 5 times prayer in it and recite the Holy Quran daily. Please make dua for our steadfastness. Inshallah Azza wa Jal.
Beloved Baba, I am Asma. I invite you to come to our masjid and offer salah with us.
Baba, when you come to our masjid.
MashaAllah. These are my grandsons and granddaughters. MashaAllah, preparations in our house get underway from beforehand of building a masjid. They've made a masjid downstairs too. Had you said, Habiba bhai, they built it downstairs too. I went to their house yesterday and their own construction was going on. In fact, the minarets were constructed as well by now and it was complete.
My Islamic brothers should go to offer salah with congregation, provided that there isn't any valid excuse to miss Jama'at, congregation. They should keep on inviting people towards righteousness and also keep on doing this. In Ramadan, people have tendency to offer salah. We should work on them so that they can offer salah regularly.
Yes, definitely. And yes, salah is to be offered in the masjid. And this masjid inside the house is basically for children. The grown-ups, they wouldn't offer salah in it. It's possible that children would perhaps lead them forcefully. Like my grandson. In fact, my granddaughter invited me in it to her grandfather that come to our masjid. So this way, children like doing this. This is a very good habit. Children should develop these kind of habits. MashaAllah.
This is all blessing of Madani atmosphere.
No doubt.
There should be atmosphere.
Alhamdulillah. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakira. Madani muzakira.